Los Angeles, California, 1947. Trolleys crisscross the streets as people stroll by. Cars drive by Hollywood landmarks. Next, two men in an office. The door reads, LAPD Detective Squad. A middle-aged man perches on the edge of a desk, his tie loosened, smoking a cigar. Across sits a younger man, tie cinched at his neck. Photos of three men on a bulletin board. Letters appear, Meridian.
So these guys just disappeared.
Yeah, on that stretch of road right above El Matador. You know it?
With the big rock.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Mickey Cohen used to take his associates out there. Bit of a bon voyage.
Mob hits? Nah, not this time. One of these guys was a school teacher. Next guy, he sold insurance. And the last guy, he was retired.
Any connection?
Mm-mm. I mean, I checked them all out. There's no criminal records, no association in any criminal organizations. One of the guys was arrested for drunk driving a long time ago. They were all divorced. Mm.
Well, in that case, maybe you don't want to go out there, boss.
What are you, a comedian? If that's the case, you sure don't want to go out there.
Yeah, look, I know what happened, all right? They go out to the rock, they take that long, cold, slow swim to China.
Suicide?
It's been known to happen out there.
Nah, not this time.
What do you mean?
Well, for one thing, there's no bodies. And somebody was out there the day the last guy disappeared.
A witness?
Yeah, a witness.
Well, why didn't you say that in the first place?
Because I thought the guy was nuts, what he said.
But now you believe him.
I had him checked out, too. Guy's a goddamn Eagle Scout. So now I don't know what to believe. I know I don't want to believe him.
What did he say?
He said he was out there walking his dog along the bluffs above El Matador, right? And he looks down at the beach at that huge rock, you know, the one that's separated from the mainland, right where the ocean meets the shore. His words, looks like a mythic sea creature, you know, that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, he looks down there and there's a guy who's on top of that rock. And he's thinking to himself, how the hell do you get up there? You gotta be a goddamn mountain climber. But more importantly, he says the guy's acting really funny. He's looking all over that rock, like he's looking for something or someone. At that very moment, he says it got really, really dark, really fast, and bombs start going off in the air. Thunder and lightning, weather like he'd never seen before, coming from he didn't know where. When he looks back at the rock, guy's gone. But there's a woman there. She's in a white dress, alabaster skin, his words. And he says she's staring right up at him. He sees her, she's beautiful, but like she's from some other time, some other place. He looks back at the weather because it's getting worse and worse. He decides to hightail it out of there. And that was it. That was his story, right? So now, I need you to go up there and find that woman.
The younger man drives alone.
So these guys just disappeared.
Not this time. Somebody was out there the day the last guy disappeared.
A witness?
Yeah, a witness. He said that he was up there walking his dog along those bluffs above El Matador. And there's a guy who's on top of that rock. He's just like looking all over the rock as if he's looking for someone or something.
The weather becomes foggy and stormy.
Then it gets dark all of a sudden, really fast. Like thunder and lightning from everywhere, all this weather.
A woman appears in the rearview mirror.
When he looks back at the rock, guy's gone. But there's a woman there in a long white dress with alabaster skin. And she's staring right up at him, not moving. Now I don't know what to believe. I know I sure don't want to believe him.
He raises his gaze to the mirror, and she is looking back at him. His eyes widen and his mouth hangs open. Now, an empty car sits on a sandy lot above the ocean. A police car drives up and parks alongside. The older man exits the car. He is wearing a trench coat and puts on a fedora. Clenching a cigar in his teeth, he walks to the empty car and looks in. He opens the door. Placing his cigar on the rim of the doorframe, he reaches in and picks up a car phone.
Yeah, dispatch. This is Captain Foster. I'm out here at the El Matador location. There's no sign of Detective Sullivan. Now, it's his car. Listen, I'm going to take a look around before you send anybody out here, so...
The sky darkens behind him. Lightning flashes. He turns and looks over his right shoulder.
Hang on a minute.
He lowers the phone and hangs it on the window. He walks to the edge of the cliff.
Captain Foster, come in, please. Are you still there, Captain?
He scans the beach below.
Captain Foster. Captain, please come in.
Foster stands at the precipice. Cloud-to-ground lightning flashes behind him. He looks to his right. Foster looks up at the sky and narrows his eyes. His gaze returns to the beach. The rock formation looms above the waves. He nods and walks forward. Thick, dark clouds sit above the ocean. Foster walks along the water's edge, past algae-covered rocks. The electrical storm intensifies. Waves crash on the rocky beach. From the bottom of the massive rock to its top. Lightning flashes behind it. The dark clouds roil. Foster's lips move silently. He looks down, squints, and tilts his head. Waves lap against a cave entrance. With the stormy sky behind him, Foster is framed by the mouth of the cave. Reaching into his coat pocket, he walks toward the cave and pulls out a flashlight. He ducks his head to enter the cave. The beam from Foster's flashlight moves through the darkness. It lands on a ventriloquist's dummy with large eyes sitting on a stool. The dummy is dressed in a tuxedo with a red tie. Foster pulls out a gun and points it at the dummy. The round beam of Foster's light illuminates the dummy's face. Turning away from the dummy, he lowers his gun and walks forward. The dummy's eyes follow him as he walks by. Gun and flashlight pointed forward, Foster breathes heavily. A clock without hands appears. It spins and grows larger. With rapid breaths, he looks to the right. He moves in the direction of his gaze, pointing his gun and flashlight ahead of him. Mouth agape and eyes wide, Foster lowers his gun and flashlight slightly. A stained glass window, illuminated from behind, reflects in a shimmering pool of water below. An image of Foster standing on the cliff, overlooking the beach, appears next to the stained glass window. Foster lowers his gun and flashlight completely, mouth open and tilting his head. The image of Foster on the beach grows clearer. Foster moves his lips silently. He looks off to the right, turns, and raises his gun and flashlight. He continues to the right, aiming his gun.
LAPD, put your hands in the air!
Three men appear.
Put your hands up now!
The three men stand motionless and without expression, arms limp at their sides. Foster shakily shifts his aim, breathes in sharply, turns, and walks to his right. His flashlight illuminates Sullivan, who stands pallid, waxy, and expressionless. His mouth open, Foster lowers his gun and walks forward.
Oh my God.
Sullivan remains expressionless. Suddenly, his eyes dart to the side. Foster's mouth turns down. His brow wrinkles and he swallows hard. A woman in a white dress with alabaster skin appears behind him. The corners of her mouth turn up. Directed by Curtis Clark. Written by Curtis Clark and James Harmon Brown. Produced by Malcolm Duncan. Executive producers Chris Fetner, Mike Whipple. Director of photography, Marcus Ferdere, BVK. Production designer, Mari Lapalainen. Edited by David Sconyers. Original music by Alex Kovacs. Visual effects supervision by Bill Taylor, ASC. Casting by Muffet Brinkman. A Virgin Soil Pictures production. Levesque, Joseph Butler, Mike Dedman, James Brown. Special thanks to City of Malibu, California, Silver Dream Factory, Red Studios, James Spies. Filmed on location in Los Angeles, California. Copyright 2016, Virgin Soil Pictures, Inc., all rights reserved. Logos. Netflix. Sony. Red Digital Cinema. Photochem. Dolby Atmos, Dolby Vision. Rhody Schwarz.